السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، brothers, sisters, young friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. This is a great blessing from Allah. Existence, He says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. There was a time where we were nothing to be mentioned. Right. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, placed us into this world, and showered us with many blessings. But some of the greatest blessings of Allah is first and foremost existence. He gave us life. Secondly, that He created us as human beings. The most honorable, or one of the most honorable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did not ask this from Allah. You know, we could have been created cats and dogs and birds or wild animals or insects or fish, you know, or tree, a number of things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed us in the best of species. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His Iman and Islam and His recognition. If you think to yourself, from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the last human being that will leave this world, what is the count? What is going to be the count if today we're 7-8 billion people in the world? How many human beings did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create? But a far more important question is, how many of those are believers? And so the general trend has always been that believers are a minority. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it. And He says in the Quran that Shaytan made a promise. He said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will not find the majority of human beings grateful to you. So the majority are completely unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, some are aware and rebellious and choose to deny. Those are few in comparison to those who have absolutely no idea. They don't know of their creator. They don't know why they're on earth. And then they don't know what is to come. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the majority of us, we were born in Islam. And so you're born with, you know, you're taught from a very young age. This is why Allah created us, for His worship. We came from Adam alayhi salam. We are going to live on earth for a set period of time. When we die, we are going to be resurrected by Allah. There is paradise and hellfire as ultimate destinations. Take your pick and make your choices. Rasulullah said, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْحُجَّةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ. I have left you on a clear path. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا. It's clear whether during the day or during the night. The message that we have received is clear. We know what is expected of us during the day. And we know what is expected of us during the night. In good times, times where, mashallah, people are, if you're living in a community or in a society where, you know, most are believers or all are believers and all or majority are observant believers, like the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the guidance is there. But if you live in time of tribulation and fitna and trials, and, you know, Shaytan is working at a force, and maybe Dajjal has come out and Ya'juj and Ma'juj have come out, the guidance is still very clear. It's not that you are going to get confused. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with Islam and Iman. And after existence, this is the greatest blessing of Allah. But then if you look, there were many believers. There are believers in the time of Isa, and believers who followed Musa, and believers who followed Ibrahim alayhi salam, and believers who followed Salih alayhi salam, and Hud, and Shu'ayb, and Nuh, and Adam. Out of the lot of humankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected every one of us to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not random. And so this is a great gift from Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that my ummah has the shortest lifespan. And then, on top of that, we are not half of what human beings were maybe 150 years ago in terms of health and quality of life, right? And so we have the shortest lifespans in comparison to people. You know, they say that Musa alayhi salam came across a woman that was crying by a grave, and she had lost a son. So he said, you know, be patient, this is the decree of Allah. And then to lighten her burden, he said, how old was your son? She said, 300 years old. One messenger. Whether it's Musa or not, I don't remember the narration. Anyway, she said, 300 years old. He died very young, poor guy, miskeen. So he said, there's going to be, at the end of time, people that are only going to live 60, 70 years. He had 300 years to enjoy this life and the blessings of Allah. And she said, 60, 70 years. And he said, yeah, and in all of that time, they have to grow up and educate and get married and get job and all of these things. She said, if I had 60, 70 years, I would spend it all in one single sujood. If I knew that I'm only going to live 60 to 70 years. I would spend it all in one single sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we are the, you know, we live the shortest lifespans. Rasulullah said, "A'mar ummati bayna sittina wa sab'een." The general lifespan of the members of my nation is between 60 and 70 years. And very few will cross, you know, the 70s. Not bang on 70. But, you know, either people die in their 60s or in their 70s. And very few people you hear, you know, that get through to their 80s and 90s. We are the last ummah to come. But Rasulullah says, my ummah will be the last to come, the first to enter paradise. When Rasulullah knocks on the gates of paradise, and Ridwan says, who is at the gate? And Rasulullah says, Muhammad. He says, I have been ordered not to open the gates of paradise except for you. And once Rasulullah enters, and all Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam, prophets and messengers enter after him, then paradise is haram on all nations until we enter it. You know, imagine now it's the summer, you go and, you know, queue up for, you know, some attraction, I don't know. In how difficult is it? 30 degrees, and people are and everybody's like wondering, I should have got that fast track ticket. It looked expensive online, but now it seems like a good deal, right? And that's what, you're just standing in a queue, you got water, and what, you're gonna wait half an hour, 45 minutes tops, 1 hour. But on the day of Qiyamah, a day that you've already spent, you know, Allah knows how many thousands of years, stood up waiting for your judgment, and then you stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you've gone through the weighing of your deeds, and then you've crossed over hellfire, a journey of 1500 years over hellfire, and then at last when you come to the gates, well, you said, oh, please wait, you can't enter. Why? First prophets and messengers, and then after that, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, there is going to be 120 rows that enter paradise. 120. You know, when we are stood before Allah, it's not chaotic. Allah says, "Saffan saffa," in rows, just as we stand in prayer. And so you're supposed to imagine that. You know, when you stood in prayer, it's supposed to remind you of the day when we are all stood in rows, quiet. Nobody can speak. Wait for your turn. until you're called out. Usama, son of Abdul Haq, come forward. Allah is calling you for hisab. Until then, you can't speak, you can't move an inch. You're just waiting. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides, right? He says, Ashabu al-Yameen and Ashabu Shimal, the people of the right, right-hand side of the throne. And the people on the left-hand side of the throne. Not that Allah has a right or a left. Wal-Iyadu Billah. And so the people of the right, how many rows are going to enter paradise? 120 rows. He says that I hope 80 out of them will be from my nation. 80. That's two-thirds of the dwellers of paradise are going to be from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did we earn that? Ask yourself. How do we deserve that? With our attitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our attitude towards our responsibilities and obligations and our attitude towards halal and haram. How do we deserve all of this? We deserve it only for one reason. Because we are connected to the best of mankind, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that relationship has given us from the get-go a high level amongst the rest of humanity. And so this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem that we have is, although we have earned all of this and inshallah we are going to benefit from all of these blessings because of this great man, we know nothing about this great man. And the little that we know, we don't emulate him. He's not important in our lives. Ask yourself, do you know the names of the wives of Rasulullah? Do you know the names of the daughters of Rasulullah? Of the sons of Rasulullah? Okay, some of us might have done some madrasa and, you know, memorizes. Okay, the uncles of Rasulullah, the aunts of Rasulullah. His biography. This is the man that has a higher status than Jibreel alayhi salam, the greatest of the angels. When he traveled on Isra and Mi'raj, the night journey, Rasulullah was going through a difficult time. Abu Talib died, his support, his uncle Khadija died, his support, his wife, and the persecutions of Quraysh increased. And then he went to Ta'if and people didn't listen to him. So all of that time before, you know, approximately some 8 odd years or 9 odd years, Rasulullah was just working in Mecca. Now he said, well, in Mecca nobody's listening, and then even my support have gone, so let me try Ta'if. So he goes and he travels by foot 80 odd kilometers, and he's rejected there and he's treated in an even worse manner. And then he comes back, and can you imagine the state of heart of Rasulullah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons him and he says, come and visit me now. At his lowest point. And so he travels to Jerusalem, where all of this is happening today, and people are suffering great injustice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, find comfort in that Allah is not unaware of the injustice. Allah is not unaware of the oppression. And so those who suffer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for their suffering and their patience. And when, you know, today we say, oh, poor brothers and sisters, they're suffering. And we don't realize those people, although we don't want any suffering for anyone, believer, non-believer, we don't want that. That is not our wish. Rahmatan lil alameen. Our messenger was a mercy to mankind. And so we should be a mercy to mankind and wish good for everyone, every individual. And so we sit and we, you know, shed a few crocodile tears. And we say, oh, these poor people. But what we don't realize is, number one, what Allah has decreed will not change. Number two, whatever Allah decrees, He decrees it with justice, wisdom, and mercy. And so if anybody is suffering in the world, then Allah has decreed it with these three qualities. Justice, Allah is just. Number two is Allah's in just, not that they deserve it. No, no. Just in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to repay them for the suffering. And then there is wisdom, there is a reason behind it. Allah doesn't, you know, do things just randomly for the sake of it. Oh, you know, let's put these two together and let's see what comes out of it. And so there's wisdom behind it. Infinite wisdom that we cannot even begin to understand and comprehend. And the surah that we read, Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displays some of that wisdom. You know, when Khidr is with Musa, he digs a hole in the, you know, he puts a hole in the boat, and Musa says, what are you doing? Then he comes across a young boy, he kills him. What are you doing? Then he goes to a city and, you know, they ask to be hosted and they refuse. And then he finds a wall that's falling and he rebuilds it. He says, what are you doing? He says, let me tell you, this is what Allah intended. The boat would have been taken by a tyrant king had I not made that small hole. Those people would have lost their only means of transport and their only means of provision, seeking provision. The boy was going to grow into an evil man that was going to cause more pain to his parents than the pain of his death. And so Allah would replace him with what? A righteous one that will make them forget about the pain of the loss. And he hasn't lived to be an evil, so he hasn't lived to be an evil person. So they did not have to go through that pain. Yes, there is a pain of loss at a young age, but the pain that they would have to endure, not only that, he says, فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا, that he could have misled them to disbelief. And then the third, that under that wall that was rebuilt, there was a treasure for some orphan children, and their forefather was a righteous man. And so had that wall fallen, people would come across the treasure, they would have lost their inheritance. And then he says what? ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. This is the interpretation for what? What you have not understood. Your mind could not perceive. And this is Musa alayhi salam. You know, an Anbiya are given the highest IQ, highest level of intelligence. They're highest in everything. Beauty, physical power, intelligence, character, name it. Because they've been formed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be guides and models for mankind. And so this is some of the wisdom of Allah. So when you hear and when you come to know that somebody is suffering in the world, and they do not, to you is like, there is no reason for that suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a reason. And lastly, that Allah does everything with mercy. The difference is the mercy of Allah is not like our mercy. So people say, well, if there was a God, why are there children starving in the world? Their starving is a mercy from Allah. You just don't understand it. Our mercy as human beings is weakness. The mercy of Allah is not weakness. Right? And so if ultimately those people are going to go into an eternity of bliss, and they are going to be on the fast lane while we're just, you know, on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah allows us to make it through, you know, whilst we're on the, what do they call it? The crawler lane. You know, when you have a steep hill and they put like a separate lane for the lorries, and they're doing 40 miles per hour. And they're going by, mashallah. You know. Rasulullah says that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be a group of people that will come out from their graves direct to paradise. No standing, no waiting to receive the book of deeds, no appearance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, you know, hisab, no accounting, nothing, from the grave to the gates of paradise. Ridwan will say, well, what kind of people are you just come here and appear? You know, there's all of these stages that you have, when you're told, there's all of these stages that you have to go through. Everybody has to go through them. They say, no, we have, what is it, that VIP pass. fast track. Yeah? We don't go through all of that. Haven't you read the Quran? He says, yeah, I have read the Quran. Tell me, what is your description in the Quran? They say, we are people, when we were blessed by Allah, we were thankful. And when we were tried by Allah, we were patient. And so Rasulullah says on the day, and this I am saying this because we are all feeling with everything that is going on in Palestine. We all feel the pain and we all feel sadness. And Rasulullah actually says that if you don't feel that, then you got to check your iman and your belief. Something wrong with you. If you don't have concern for the members of your ummah and the people of your faith that share your faith, and actually concern for all of humanity, anybody that is suffering anywhere in the world, if you don't have any concern for that, then, you know, you're not a true believer. You can't be sincere in your belief. There's something wrong. Rasulullah says, "Laysa minna." This person who has no concern for our people, then is not from amongst us. But we find solace in this and comfort in this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward those who are patient, and those who suffer, knowing that the situation is from Allah, it is for my own good, and Allah will reward me for being patient. And so Rasulullah traveled, taken to Baytul Maqdis. He leads all previous prophets and messengers in prayer. And then he ascends with Jibreel, and they're going through, you know, the first gates, and Jibreel alayhi salam seeks permission. Who is it? Jibreel with Muhammad. Okay, you know, first heaven, the second heaven, third heaven, seventh heaven. And then they come to Sidratul Muntaha, the point that has never been crossed by any of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine? Like, nobody crossed this point. Jibreel alayhi salam stopped and stood, and he said, Muhammad, Allah tells you to continue. He says, can you imagine if somebody just took you to, I don't know, some Birmingham and dropped you there and said, okay, you carry on now. You get like, you come with me all the way, you might as well do a few more steps and take me to my destination. And so Rasulullah says that my brother Jibreel, is this a place? Like, you know, if he left me somewhere in the world, I could ask around and what. There's no creation here. There's nobody to ask, nobody to guide. You bring me all this way and then you leave me. He says, Ya Muhammad, I do not have permission to cross this. If I take a single step, I will burn. And so this great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most honored, the most noble, the best in every perspective. We are made His nation. He sacrificed every moment of His life when He received the revelation from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andir. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum illayla illa qalila. He wrapped up his bed and he said, La rahata ba'da al-yawm. There is no more resting after today. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila, Allah says. Great responsibility, mankind on his own. After 500 and odd years, you know, ulama says 600 years, no prophet between Isa and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In previous times, you know, between Musa is a great prophet of Allah, Isa is a great prophet of Allah. But in between, Allah sent, you know, anbiya. There's no messengers, but if Allah doesn't send messengers, He says anbiya, prophets who remind people. And He send them in towns, different countries, different nations, different families, so on and so forth. But between Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah 600 years, no new guidance. Not to say that Allah left people in misguidance, no. They had Torah, they had Injil. And then He comes on His own. And look at the, yes, it is the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but look at the achievement of this great being. He stands on His own and He works for 23 years. The effect of His efforts and his sacrifices and his worry and his concern are felt today, 1443 years Hijrah, between Az and Hijrah. And then Rasulullah migrated 10 years, he spent 13 years in Mecca. And so how many is that in total? 46, 56, 1456 years since Rasulullah received prophethood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam with those few words, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, introducing him to the Creator and then commanding him to do what? To invite people to the Creator, to recognize their Creator. 1450 odd years. Today, the most common name in the world is what? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the fastest growing religions, they say, oh, Muslims are always bragging about the fastest growing religion. Okay, we might not be. One of the greatest. And there is no doubt that the people of Islam, and you know, this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are more adhering to our principles, alhamdulillah, and tenets than most people of other faiths and other belief systems. And then his name is mentioned by a quarter of humanity. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Every Muslim, they pray, they don't pray, they know La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They testify to his prophethood. And then his name is called out in all corners of the world. There isn't a time, ulama say that there isn't a time where adhan and iqama and salah is not being called out somewhere in the world. And so, how many people making adhan here in London? And then how many in the UK? And then how many in Europe? And then how many in the world? How many people are calling out from minarets, and it's going live stream to people's homes, and then people in their own home making adhan, Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. When there was a time where everybody said, you're a liar, you're a magician, you're mad. But we haven't understood this. And this is the reason we have this inferiority complex. We feel inferior. You can't go out with a thawb. What are people gonna say? Can't go out with a hijab. What are people gonna say? I can't grow a beard. What are people gonna say? And yes, these things are not, they're not obligations. But it says something about how much we value the sunnah of our prophet and messenger and his appearance. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een would watch how Rasulullah walked and they try to walk like him. And they'll see how did he sit? They'll sit like him. How does he talk? I'll talk like. Allah didn't say walk like the messenger walked. No, it's optional. You want to walk as you please. That's not part of religion. But they loved him so much and realized what? That he was so important to Allah. There's a narration, I don't know how, probably very weak. That, in Bani Israel, Samiri was somebody that, from Bani Israel that misled the people of Bani Israel. He's the one who suggested the worship of the calf. They say that he was saved because Allah knew in his heart that he wasn't a believer. And so why did Allah save him when he crossed with him? Because he was in the company of Musa. And he outwardly looked like somebody who is following the Sharia of Musa. And so Allah saved him, did not allow him to drown with Fir'aun. Even having the outer appearance is what? People say, well, deen is not about wearing a dishdasha or jallaba and wearing a hat. And yes, deen is not only about that. That's just appearance. Abu Jahl had a beard and wore a turban and wore a thawb. Doesn't make you like, this great being. But it is a testimony of your love for Rasulullah. That I want to try to emulate what I can. That comes easy. Whatever comes easy. The greatest way of emulating Rasulullah is to adopt his character and his concern and his worship. His worship, his adherence. Allah says, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُهُ. Whatever the messenger commands you, do. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he asks you to refrain from, refrain from it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. The punishment of Allah is severe. But it, you know, what I seek to, I'm not making, you know, passing judgment on anyone. But you know within your heart how difficult it is for you to adopt the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ out there. And you only have that because you have no realization of who Rasulullah ﷺ is. We do it, don't we? Yeah, how many people you see coming to the masjid? We got this thing inside the pocket and then they take it out. Bismillah. And then as soon as they're coming out, whoop, Bismillah. You know that Rasulullah ﷺ covered his head most of the time. Be it a hat, be it a cap, turban, scarf, whatever you want. But Rasulullah ﷺ had a habit of covering his head. And so it is a sunnah. But you haven't realized the importance of this sunnah. Yes, you know that when I'm praying, it's better to cover my head. And so I'm covering my head during prayer. But you don't realize that this was the way of Rasulullah ﷺ. And Rasulullah ﷺ was designed exactly as Allah wants the best possible human being to be. And so anything that you adopt from his lifestyle, whether that is his worship, whether that is his character, his softness, his mercy, his advice to people, his way of walking, talking, dressing, and all of these things have been preserved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved it. And people worked very hard to preserve this information. They travel, you know, hundreds of miles on camelback and horseback and on foot in order to preserve you just one hadith that Rasulullah would do miswak in this particular manner. But as lot is like, because we don't realize the importance. Why? Because we don't understand how great Rasulullah is. The last thing. And we'll end. There's so much to say about Rasulullah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Verily, Allah and His messengers, His angels, send salutations upon the messenger. You know, Quran is an everlasting book of Allah. It is the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah means it is an attribute of Allah. It means that it was not created. It means that there was no time when there was no Quran. Quran was always there. There was a time when Muhammad wasn't there, but Quran was there. In that time, Allah and His angels are sending salutation upon the messenger that is to come. Yusalluna, Allah says. It means now, in the future. There is going to be no time where Rasulullah's name is not being praised. Allah gave him the name Muhammad, Ahmad, Hamid. Most of the names of Rasulullah have a relationship with what? Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he is the best of those who praised Allah. But he is the only creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is praised. Allah will praise Rasulullah. Allah praises him. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. I have designed you and fashioned you and gave you the best of character. You are the best. You know, we read in the Quran how Allah honored Rasulullah. When he speaks to all the other messengers, he says, Ya Adam, Ya Nuh, Ya Hud, Ya Salih, Ya Shu'aib, Ya Musa, Ya Isa. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is the Khalil, close friend of Allah, he says, Ya Ibrahim, وَقَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Ya Ibrahim. Rasulullah, no, Ya Muhammad. Ya Ayyuhal Nabi, O Prophet. Ya Ayyuhal Rasul, O Messenger. Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir. And the few times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the name of Rasulullah, He's not addressing him, He's addressing us. And to establish that this is my messenger, this is why he says, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The verse begins with Muhammadun Rasulullah. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ. Allah knows and testifies that you are His messenger. So lofty. What is expected of us is, number one, to love Him. Number two, you cannot love Him without knowing about Him. So this is our duty as Muslims, as parents, as youngsters, to know this being. Because our success relies on knowing this being, loving this being, and emulating His lifestyle. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us more understanding and enable us to live accordingly.